Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
2 years ago, I almost died. My body was out of control. I checked myself into a trauma center to recover. Hold yourself accountable for your behavior, first and foremost. So the CRAE score is basically red flags in the relationship about inappropriate behavior. I'm just supposed to have fun creating a business. I didn't know I had to do any actual work to get it off the ground. You're your best friend. You're your only best friend. No one ever is gonna protect you like you will. And so leaning into that is extremely important.
What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
Failure should be a learning opportunity.
What's going on, Justin? Thank you again for coming on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast. Just got one question for you. Why CRAE out?
Well, about 2 years ago, I almost died. My partner of 8 years turned out to be an illusion and sabotaged the marriage in a way to try to cause me to have a nervous breakdown. She was almost successful. I lost 40 pounds. My blood pressure was at 180 over 120. And my resting heart rate was 100 beats per minute. So it was, my body was out of control. I checked myself into a trauma center to recover. And in analyzing the marriage and the relationship, I started kind of realizing there were some things that I missed that I wish I had enough. So I started working on CRAE to make sure it didn't happen to anyone else.
Sounded like you started with yourself first, started taking accountability, and then you started to help other people. Did I get that right?
Yeah, of course. That, you know, it's funny. Accountability is kind of a lost art these days. And that's something I really lean heavily into, and I did when I was in treatment. Because to get better and improve ourselves, we really have to be honest with ourselves about what our faults are, how we're impacting situations, and hold ourselves accountable for such.
And the reason why I just said something about accountability, because I went through a divorce. And you know how a lot of people be like, man, it wasn't my fault. Like, I didn't do nothing. Why the other person do it to me? Man, I started to learn. I was like, it's two people in this relationship. Instead of me trying to figure out what the other person did and what I did. What did I do and how can I be better? The accountability helped me grow. And it sounded like that when you start taking accountability for yourself, you was growing as well. Did I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think accountability was huge. And I think self-love too. I mean, I think those two things are kind of a core component of my rebirth. Because I think that, you know, you have to hold yourself accountable for your behavior first and foremost. And you have to be honest with yourself about where you are in life and what kind of the path forward is.
As I was doing research on you, because, man, you got a lot of information behind you, bro. So as I was doing information, I was like, man, he's actually growing. And when I was doing my divorce, I was like, all right, cool. So I'm trying to figure out how to be better, how to be a better man, how to just be better overall. I started to read this book, and it's called Single on Purpose. I didn't find the book that you recommended, but you do have education. Nonetheless, what book did you read that helped you throughout your journey?
It's interesting. There was this book I read a long time ago. Part of it called The Power of Choosing, and in it a blind Sikh woman does a lot of studies on how choice can impact happiness. And so that kind of resonated once I was in treatment and kind of really trying to choose my destiny of who I was and who I wanted to be, because part of rebuilding yourself, you have to determine what your core values are and really lean into those. So for me, mine were family, kindness, and loyalty. And those are my three core values that I heavily lean into. And once I really figured those out, it enabled me to kind of, the direction came naturally afterwards. So I think people really have to do a lot of self-discovery and determine where their value set is. Because a lot of times when people are unhappy in life, it's because there's a misalignment of those two things. And they can't put their finger on why they're unhappy, but they know they're living outside of where they should be. And so that really helped me in terms of my rebirth and growth.
There's a saying, and I hate this saying so much. It says, opposites attract.
That's just what people say when they're opposites to make themselves feel better, like there's a hope. Because most relationship, true happiness in a relationship is when you both are like this. Mm-hmm. And that means that you have an alignment of mind, you have similar interests, you have the same values. You may even have the same, you know, sense of humor, a dark sense of humor. So I think people just make up phrases or tell themselves things to make the medicine a little bit more palatable to them. But I disagree with that.
I do too, and I hate it so much. Every time somebody say opposites attract, I'm like, why do you want to be attracted to your opposite? You have nothing in common. Like, they don't even make sense. And so when I was doing the research on Crate app, you literally talk about red flags. And I hate that we didn't bring your marketing, your all your stuff. I literally thought about it. Like, I was like, man, I'm going to put it in the camera. I'm putting it like this. And I was like, dang, I forgot about it.
Oh, I can bring it during the break. It's all good.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so with Crate app, how do you help people identify the red flags to pay attention to?
Well, I think the being mindful piece is a lost piece in dating these days, because most people see someone, they're like, oh, they look good, you know, and they don't think about, well, do we get along? Do we have anything in common? Are they a good person? Do they have their life together? When we talk about conflict, do they handle it in a healthy way? Like, none of those things are thought about. And it really is a shame, because it puts people in a lesser position.
And that lesser position causes friction, it causes separation, it causes anxiety. All these different words that I learned by going through my divorce, I was like, man, what is this, bro? What is I'm like, man, what is abandonment issues? What is all these different things?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I didn't even know. But sometimes you have to go through a phase of life to understand more about yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I think the piece for me that I realized was a lot of my problems stem from a lack of boundaries with the people around me, and a lack of self-love. Because if I love myself, then the boundaries would become natural as part of protecting myself. So once I left treatment, I really leaned into self-love and did stuff out of character for me to show myself that I'm gonna go like above and beyond. Like, I got myself fancy bracelet or two, you know, I got a nice necklace or two. But it's not something that just is that. You're not gonna cure your problems from buying yourself a bunch of stuff or just, you know, claiming that you're self-love. It really has to be based on that. So like going to bed at a reasonable time, eating good food, going in the hot tub or a sauna, you know, to get the stress out of your body. These are all real self-love techniques that actually do have an impact on someone.
As I was doing research, it didn't say nothing about no treatment, but you just said something about treatment twice.
Yeah.
By treatment, what do you mean? Are you talking about therapy? Are you talking
about... So after my wife blew up the marriage and I realized that she was a mirage, I was losing myself. So I made the decision to check myself into a trauma treatment center, a PTSD treatment center out in Colorado called All Points North. And I was in there for 60 days, like straight 60 days in a facility. And while I love the impact it's had on me, and I couldn't have gotten through all this without it, being anywhere for 60 days, staring at the same walls, in the same halls, in the same classrooms, it's a lot. It's a test of durability in some ways. But it was immensely important. I did dialectical behavior therapy while I was there. I did cognitive behavior therapy, individual therapy, group therapy, ketamine treatments, you know, all sorts of stuff to get my brain back in the right place. Ketamine's great because it has the ability to create neuroplasticity in your brain, which means new neural pathways can be created and formed. So you take someone who has a highly traumatic situation, they do 6 weeks of ketamine, and their brain can now be remolded into a healthier version of itself. It actually, research has shown it cures depression too. So yeah, six treatments and it cures depression, I think in like 70% or 80% of people.
The more you know, the more you can help others. And the reason why I say that is because you emphasize self-love. Self-love is so important, but it's often overlooked. I can't love you if I don't love myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, when I start to learn it, I'm like, man, okay. It might seem selfish.
However, if I don't love myself as much as I need to love myself, I can't love my current wife now like I need to. With your app, Cray app, as I was doing research, you help people identify the red flags early before going through the tough moment of, you know, the D word, the divorce word, a hard word, a word that a lot of people don't really understand. So as I was doing research, how did you know that you was making an impact from that?
Well, because I have a background in psychological test publishing, I had actually worked on multiple projects for products, one of them being the first concussion recognition app that was available for the iPhone. So I was the one who did the project management, a lot of the graphic design for that. And so it gave me the understanding of how to go about this. And I realized that in order for people to screen their partners or the relationship effectively, we have to look at certain things. So certain maybe psychological diagnosis that might lead to an unhappy situation, like narcissistic personality disorder or antisocial personality disorder. And you break those into behaviors, and that's kind of what red flags are, really, is, you know, these different psychological constructs or behaviors that people do that are a sign of maybe some underlying behavior issues or things like that. So that's kind of how I approached it. And I wanted to give a tool set that people could screen up here for stability of the relationship, screen up here for manipulation, and then give some other tools to research their background a little bit so that people could feel competent, you know, and safe when going out with someone for the first time or even the 10th time.
And your Cray app is an online digital version to the point where it's like kind of like online dating, and you have these dating apps where you, let's say Tinder, you swipe left, swipe right, people that you like, people that think that you think is cute, but you're reading the description and see the picture and that's it. With yours, your dating app is completely different because it's not just only swipe left, swipe right.
So this is one of the clarifications I like to give people. It's more of a self-improvement app. Mm-hmm. It's not a dating app. It's a self-improvement app, because what I'm trying to do is create self-advocacy for people so that they actually understand the landscape in that relationship, so they can then be informed to make the decision, do I want to stay in this relationship? Do I know this person for how they're behaving or who they are accurately? So that was the goal of the app, was to give people a tool set so that they could date more effectively. I don't want to be in the matchmaking game. There's plenty of apps that do that, and they really just keep you on there to milk you for money. And I don't want to do that either. That's why I made the two main components free, so people can use the app and get the major benefits from it without me making any money, because I couldn't fix dating if I was creating a hurdle people had to jump through to be able to get safety. So that was one of my main goals too.
And in fact, hold on, let me make sure I wrote it down. I definitely wrote it down. I was going to wait to bring it up, but since you just brought it up, the two apps that you have, the Cray score and the Schema score.
Yeah.
What is that?
So the Cray score is basically red flags in the relationship about inappropriate behavior. It could be anything from substance abuse to did they groom you when you were a minor to they're unkind to you during conflict. Those are all very different red flags, but they're each very important. The Schema score is more about how manipulative or deceptive is the person being. So that one was really to try and capture the online fake daters on the dating apps that are trying to get you into their OnlyFans or some other scheme. So that was to protect people in that way. So I felt that I had to give them both the, is the relationship safe or is the person trying to use me? Those are the two pitfalls usually with online dating in terms of safety.
And I appreciate how you explained it, because you said you started with yourself. The app is more about helping you learn more about yourself, so that way you can identify who you would like to be in relationship, partnership with. And it's understanding more about yourself first, understanding more about the other person. And I think people miss that when you get into a relationship. Yes, there's two people in a relationship. However, you still have to be individual people. Like, you still have to have your own hobbies. You still have to have your own interests and things that brings you fulfillment. My biggest downfall when I was in my first marriage was that I was really focusing too much on my ex-wife. I was putting my time and energy, not to say that this is bad, but I forgot to love myself. I forgot to put myself first. And I was pouring from a half full cup trying to make her happy. And I was like, man, I'm making myself worse.
I mean, that's the tough thing too. You know, if we're with someone who sucks all of our time and energy because we're naturally a giving person, that's the worst combination. That's actually what I was into. I'm a very kind, giving person. I help the homeless, all that kind of stuff. But you meet the wrong person, and they can really manipulate that side of you and just extract as much of your love that's in you and whatever else, and just suck you dry and leave you empty.
And I'm trying something new for the podcast now. So now we got the backstory of Cray out. Mm-hmm. So how do you make a business from Cray out? Like, how do you like get attention? How do you get, how do you monetize from, like, how do you actually make a, have a business around the app that you have, Cray out?
Yeah, that's been the tough thing to figure out, because I had the tool, you know, that was the first idea. And then I was like, wait, crap, I need to make money somehow. It needs to be a business, right? So I added on the catfish check and the background check. I have to pay for those data link ups, the APIs, so I have to charge money for it. And then there's also a vibe check, which is a summary of the Cray score report, you know, remassaged in a digestible way so that people can have actionable information that they can use to improve their relationship and be aware of what might some of the risks be in the future.
I was talking to somebody, I forgot who I was speaking with, but we was talking about the creative side. I think it was Hannah. We was talking about the creative side. We was like very creative, but now to attach the business side behind everything, now you gotta learn how to market yourself. You gotta learn how to promote yourself, sales, follow up, all these different things. It's like, well, who said anything about that?
I'm just supposed to have fun creating a business. I didn't know how to do any actual work to get it off the ground. Yeah, no, it's hard. And I think depending on the business, you have to approach it differently. For me, I'm luckily in a position where I had such a crazy life story that led to the business that I go to podcasts and I'm like, hey, I almost died. You want to have me on your podcast? They're like, come on in. So, oh, crap. I'm sorry.
You good.
That's the nice thing for me, is that I can utilize my life story to promote the business. And I've been using podcasts. I've been doing some different outreach on social medias, you know, posting different content, really just trying to get the message out there that the brand is all about dating safety and being helpful by providing supplemental information to people so they can make informed decisions. So that all the marketing has backed that up. I'm now looking at doing email marketing, cold email marketing. I just hooked up Claude and Zapier last night to give that a try. So, you know, just trying different things to see what kind of hits. Because when you're in the beginning of the business, in the early stages, you don't know what's going to work. You don't know what messaging is going to work. You don't know who your target customer is. You might have assumptions about those things, and you can do a shotgun blast to kind of test and learn from that data. But it's all kind of a guessing game when you're a new entrepreneur. And hopefully the entrepreneurs who start a business know enough about that industry or that area that they have such competency that those ideas come natural because they've worked in that area. And that's why I'm a strong believer that people are who are highly competent in a specific field end up just naturally bubbling up to the top and creating their business and moving forward. Because they have such talent, it's almost impossible for them not to.
You have history in is it the investment space?
Managing director of Arc Applications, which was a VC company that I started with my brother-in-law and my dad. And we invested in local startups. Script was one of them, which was a workflow automation platform for schools. There were some other investments like PeerFit that was a wellness credit platform for gyms that, you know, insurance companies could use. So we had a few investments. It gave me some insight into what that process is like. I worked hands-on on Script for about a year, helping them with their marketing and branding and stuff like that. So it kind of, like I just said, it's kind of a culmination where you just naturally bubble up and end up in the situation.
The reason why I just brought that up is because people see you today, but what about yesterday, last month, last year, a couple years from now, and people understand that the journey is overwhelming. You know, had so many different failures, you know, changed so much, you know, grew so much, you know, had to pivot so much. Yet during that time, as you was pivoting, people don't see the pivot until they see you today. So when you was in the investment industry, how did you pivot into having your own business?
So The investment company came after I graduated with my MBA, and my brother-in-law and I were trying to figure out what to do. We had just, started toying with the idea of doing VC. And once we started doing that, I realized I really enjoyed the startup space. I'm a very creative thinker, so it's just naturally a great extension for me to work there. And it just was energizing. So ever since then, I've always wanted to create my own business and kind of do all that. And then 2 years ago, I kind of got thrown into it. So I'm glad I got that shove. Maybe I wish it happened a little differently, but I think Cray's going to change dating and make people safe and save trauma from people. So
it's the moments that we don't expect. Okay, here's another quote. It's the failures that we don't expect. People think, yes, I talk a lot about failures and how to turn it into knowledge. Sometimes I think people just think I'm lying. Like, I literally plan how to fail. I'm like, no, you can't plan a failure. It just naturally happens like that.
Yeah.
But it's what you do after the failure. It's how you grow. It's how you develop. It's how you learn. And you started to pivot in a way where you was down, and you start to help people get back up because you had to learn with yourself first.
Absolutely. I think that, the entrepreneurial road is not an easy one. And failure can be either failure or it can be a learning lesson. And that, I think, is the deviation between why people struggle maybe when you say these things, is because most people don't realize that you can let it consume you, or you can let that negative experience be your catapult. And for me, I had everyone in my life turn against me in the course of 2 months. And so when I was there at my lowest, crying my eyes out in the treatment center, something just changed me. I was like, fuck all these people. You think I'm gonna fail? You think you're gonna destroy me? Fuck all you. We'll see. We'll see. And then I just really poured myself into the business and literally had no one to socialize with for a year and a half. And so I busted my butt on the business. I wasn't gonna allow that time to just be me wasting away, feeling sorry for myself. And, I wish people would pay attention. No one's gonna come save you. No one's gonna come rescue you. There's no ambulance, there's no police. You have to do it yourself. You really have to pick yourself up and drill it inside your brain that you're your best friend. You're your only best friend. No one ever is going to protect you like you will. And so leaning into that is extremely important. Like, one of my pieces that people have a problem with from my old life is my self-respect is the first thing. And so I won't allow people to pass my boundaries. I won't allow people to say things that are inappropriate. I won't allow people to, sue me and say negative things in the court about me. Get the fuck out of here. Nothing can break me after that. That's the nice thing about what I went through, is I literally got burned to ashes, and what I've built is made of stone. No one's going to break me.
Again. No one's going to break you again.
Yeah.
But you have to get broken to understand what broken feels like. Sometimes people want to avoid the failure. Sometimes people want to avoid the mistake. Well, when you step into it, you don't know what you're stepping into.
Mm-hmm.
You start to learn, you start to grow, you start to develop. And then as you're learning, growing, and develop, you're learning more about yourself.
Absolutely. And I think that people avoid pain like it's this awful thing. Like it's some emotion they should never experience. But the thing is, when you go through that pain and you feel that pain and you let it fully affect you, now you've transformed yourself because you've processed the pain you have in a way that you take accountability for it being painful. It's a natural feeling for someone in the situation you're in. That's a game changer because most, I think there's this toxic belief that if I show pain or that I've been hurt, that I'm a weak person. No, that's not what makes you weak. It's whether you get up and keep moving, whether you, pick yourself up and keep going. I think people just let it overwhelm them. Understandably, in some situations, that's what leads to homelessness. You get hit with the wrong kind of situation, it's impossible to recover from without a lot of help.
So I was raised by a single mom who raised 3 boys by herself. And she had the heart of a lion. Like, she was very resilient. And throughout my journey of growing up, I didn't see what she had to go through. Mm. Of course, I was there. But as I get older and reflect, I'm like, you went through that much? You had to do all these different things. Take care of the kids. Take care of the house. Take care of the car. Take care of yourself. Take care of everything. But it started with her. And then when you start with yourself, you start to understand that you have to transform. You have to grow. You have to evolve. Because if you don't, then you're going to remain the same.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, the stronger you are in setting an example for your kids, they turn out into great, amazing individuals who become successful. I mean, as a parent, it's kind of our duty to shield our kids from that stuff, but sometimes it's really hard. I mean, it's, if she wasn't able to put food on the table, how is she going to shield you from that? It's some of those things the parent can't, no matter how hard they try. But I think those very difficult experiences and the memories of them raise people who always have that in the back of their mind, like, that's the worst it could be. I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for my kids. So it's great to see how you turned out in that sense. Yeah.
I appreciate that. So we're at the University of Tampa, and you actually have a degree at University of Tampa. Well, we're in the SMART program as well, but the degree that you have is, if I'm not mistaken, is it MBA or BA?
No, I got my MBA here with a focus on entrepreneurship. It was a great experience. I loved it. It was a ton of fun. One of our capstone projects was to go around on the brew bus for a night and check the business out to do a report on them. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that for a night? But all the teachers here were great. And I actually volunteered in the Entrepreneurship Center here for 4 years as an EIR. So I was an entrepreneur in residence during the time I was doing the VC. So that I got to help entrepreneurs with their businesses and give them feedback. And that made me want to do it too. So it's like, once I started this business, it felt like a natural extension to end up back at UT. Number one, because I love the space here, and I graduated from here. And I felt like it was kind of giving something back to the school in a way too, because it creates such a great product, and I can bring kids in who are students here to get involved and let them get hands-on and get some real experience and learn from kind of my mistakes and that kind of stuff. So it's a very cool opportunity to be here.
Man, I definitely agree. I'm with I well I wasn't I didn't come to University of Temple back in the day, but today, since we're here in the same program, it's definitely informative, and just to be around a lot of entrepreneurs who are doing business. And then my biggest thing is they ask you, okay, so what do you need help with? Like, what is your biggest struggle? I'm like, man, this is golden.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like young people's energy. I mean, I had a guy reach out from the pitch we did the other day, and he's going to do my market research for me to get feedback on the app with like 15, 20 students. And I would never have the time to do all that. I'm busy doing all the other stuff. So it's like, this is a great opportunity to plug students in who are hungry, who have some competency in specific areas, and who could really learn from the experience of giving them the opportunity to get engaged with the business. How many, 19, 20-year-olds get to do market research for what's going to be a national brand, with a lot of following? So I think that piece of it's cool that I get to give back to students and kind of, give them something to look forward to and kind of aspire to do, and see someone who's kind of been through it all and can give them some guidance.
Man, I definitely agree, because you never know the impact that you're going to make, and sometimes they might come back and tell you the impact that you are making.
You want to hear something crazy? So Bert came to me when I was an EIR. Bert is the manager of the incubator for the audience, but he came in to me for advice, and he had gotten advice from me. And then when I reached out back to the school about doing, speeches in front of the classes, he's like, "Hey, I actually came to you for help one time. You should apply to the incubator." So I did, and it was just this weird, like, circle of life giving back kind of thing, where someone who I had helped is now in a position to help me, which was really cool.
You never know who you gonna meet, so I always treat everybody right. All right, so we got one last segment. It's called Best for Last, and so I ask four questions, and you answer within 60 seconds.
Oh boy.
So question, oh no, 30 seconds. No, 30
Each
seconds.
question is
Each
30.
question,
Okay.
yeah. So question number one, what are you grateful for?
Being alive and having my health still. I've had three surgeries, spinal fusion, hip surgery, and another surgery that wasn't great. And yeah, I think people take for granted being able to get out of bed, to walk, to be able to bend over and pick something up. So just being grateful for my health at this point. I mean, I'm 40, almost six, so simple things in life for me. After what I've went through, it's like I do stop and smell the flowers. I do sit and enjoy life and breathe things in, because once you have nothing, then you these little moments of happiness.
Cut off. Do you mind? It's a flip, a switch right there. Oh, I just do it.
Yeah, I didn't want to fuck it up. Sorry.
No, you good. All right, so I'll just ask the question again.
Yeah.
Make sure. Right, cool. What was the question? I'm grateful. Yeah, okay. So we
Yeah,
have.
once you have nothing, I think that everything becomes so much sweeter. It's like a homeless person who has no house, who has no food, who's starving, and then they finally get a meal, and it's like the best thing ever. That's how I've felt. I mean, the last 18 months have been void of any sort of joy. So I've learned to really just enjoy the small things, the little victories in life. The happy moments with my 4-year-old and just leaning all into that and, spending time with my kids in a way that's meaningfully connected.
Okay. Question number two. Do you have any regrets?
Does my ex-wife count? I'm sorry, I
That's a
had to.
lesson. That's a
I had to. I
lesson.
had to.
That's a
Any regrets? Not believing in myself sooner.
lesson.
Because, I think that for a long time, and this sounds terrible, I hated myself. Like looking in the mirror, I didn't like myself. I didn't like the person who I was. So that's transformed in me and it's been a game changer for me. Believing in myself and loving myself.
That is a game changer because look at you now. Look at you now. Question number three. What is your biggest lesson while being the owner of a Cray app?
If you give yourself enough time, you can do it. That you can do it. It's just give yourself the time, give yourself the focus, and be patient and give yourself grace. You're not going to build a business in a day. You're not going to build it in 10 days. You're not going to build it in 2 months. It is literally a little bit at a time and just keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. And eventually, you're going to get that momentum. So, that's one thing I would say.
Okay, then last question. What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
As I said earlier, failure should be a learning opportunity. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's one thing I've really focused on. Because I used to get personal about failing. Like it was some reflection of my competency, or it was unfair, or whatever else. And for me, it's none of those things. Just because you didn't do it right the first time doesn't mean you can't do it right the second time, or the fifth time, or maybe the 20th time. And what are you learning in those failures? What could you gain from that? Because, if you fail and don't learn something, then you're just failing. If you fail and you learn something, then you're learning and it's improvement.
Man, this was great. This is great. How can people find you? How can they learn more about Cray App? And how can they connect with you?
Yeah, our website is cray.app, Cray period app. Our socials are that too. So look us up on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, I think. Yeah, and reach out to the apps in the App Store under Cray-Dating Safety.
Man, Justice, this was great, bro. I learned so much about Cray app and your journey and the process behind everything that you're doing. One thing I just recently started to do is just end with a positive note, which is it was your one failure away from changing your life, but now it's going to be fail fast because you never know the lessons you're going to learn. Do you
Yeah.
have one closing quote?
You don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That just popped into my head. I think that, we have to be our own cheerleaders for our business and self-promoters. And it doesn't reflect negatively on you that you believe in yourself so well. That's actually a quality of a lot of top performing athletes. There's a balance between over belief in yourself or overconfidence and visualizing what the outcome is that you want. And so, stand for something and believe in it strongly. Yeah.
There you go. Listen, if y'all didn't take notes, this was a great conversation about Cray App, Justin's story, and everything that you've been. If you've been in a similar situation, just know you're not alone. So Justin, again, thank you for coming on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast. What was your biggest takeaway of being on the podcast?
I mean, you got a professional setup here, number one. I mean, it's nice. I haven't done the studio before, so it was super cool seeing that. And also that you gave a lot of thought to me being a guest, which is nice. It's always nice when the host has given a lot of thought and consideration to not just their guest, but the product they made in the business and really thought those things out. And you did a great job with that, so I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And last question for someone that's hesitant to come on to the Phase Knowledge Podcast, is one piece of advice that you can get them?
Just do it. I mean, as at the pitch night the other night, I told you I'm mortified doing public speaking, doing podcasts. My hands are all wet and sweaty, but I still do it. You just have to have the leap of faith and do it, because no one's going to promote your business for you. You have to do it yourself. Even if you don't want to, even if you don't like public speaking, you're not going to be successful unless you are out there telling people about your business or product, trying to build some interest. So I would tell people, just jump into it. There's a bunch of different sites you can, try and get a guest spot on. But yeah, for sure, 100%, they should do it.
Man, I appreciate it, Justin.